Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Hey, we got everybody on. Well, what is on your mind on this chilly and probably snowy morning for you guys?
Well, I don't have any snow here.
Yeah, no snow yet.
Rain.
Ice, rain and ice.
Oh, nasty. Well, I think it's 28 here in Nashville. So it's pretty cold. Anyway, what's on your mind regarding Supernova?
Well, that big guy Mike isn't here today. He had a meeting. I'm his partner and his daughter. My name's Sandrine. So what we did over the last 2 weeks was we took another hard look at our book and segmented it with the top 10% of revenue and kind of where it's all coming from. And it's right at about 50% is where I would say a larger percent of his revenue comes from. And then we even broke it down to see where his top 100 clients would fall. But even underneath that, there'd be some still pretty profitable clients. So we're seeing where would be the best place to delegate them or moving forward what to do with them, because there's just a lot of connections throughout the entire book. And I know my dad had previously said that being in a smaller community that, you know, getting rid of them, it's not in a big city where you're never going to see them, that a lot of the times we still manage to see them or they're somehow interrelated to the other clients that we'll still have.
Sure. Think of it not as getting rid of them and something nasty. Think of them as getting a better client experience by getting more attention from someone else.
I think we're headed in that direction. Our complex manager was here yesterday, and he wants to set up a complex call center. And at least one of the people in the center is going to be in this office, so there will be interrelations with the accounts if need be, but if not necessary, then we can just cut the cord, but they will be handled here. So Mike was very excited about that yesterday, so hopefully it'll get started sooner than later.
That's terrific. Yeah, I know your complex manager is committed to the process of Supernova and sees the advantages of the leverage it'll give you, the time it will free you up, the balance it gives to your life, and the better service it gives to your clients. So I appreciate that and look forward to that solution. Okay. So one of the other initiatives that we talked about last week was to prepare the 5-star model, and then the second was to do, as you said, review the top 20 clients to see where they came from in order to identify niches. So how did we do on that exercise?
You guys, I wasn't here, but you guys all met with Mike, what, twice or once? What came out of that?
A lot of ours are families.
Yeah.
I would say our top 20 or so, they all revolve around families, and some of them own their own business. So I would say our top niche is kind of families who are either just trying to pass along their wealth to their kids, which then they'll end up with accounts here, or they might own a smaller business. And then we have, you know, outlier clients, or I didn't include, my dad handles pension plans, so I didn't include them because they're not necessarily individuals and they kind of have their own level of service that's a little bit different. But I would say our primary accounts are usually families that kind of branch out here and have been here, I would say, 10 plus years at least from our top clients.
Is there a way that the families interact with each other? Are they members of the same church? What do they have in common?
Some of them are friends with each other. Like, we have these birthday luncheons, and they actually, whether the friendships were before or after, like, they tend to know each other or refer one another.
A lot of them have the same accountant.
Yeah, same accountant or lawyer.
Or they work at the same company together because we are from a smaller location.
Well, that's a help, and they have the same attorney in a lot of cases.
CPA.
CPA.
Okay. Anything else that they would have in common? Same country club? Same, they don't work in the same place, or maybe they do?
I mean, the country club thing isn't as big. Some of them are part of it, but I don't think it's not nearly as big as them all sharing the same accountant. I would say it's primarily the people who they need to go to for advice is what they have in common, not so much what they do socially.
That's interesting. Okay, so centers of influence are going to be very important for you. So do you have a relationship with the CPA? Does he refer business regularly to you?
Yes.
Okay.
A relationship with him, yeah.
And you mentioned an attorney also. Is that also a center of influence and they refer business to you?
Yes.
Would that be an estate planning attorney or corporate attorney? Or?
Usually estate.
Estate planning attorney. Okay. Okay, so you guys understand you understand what a niche is, right? The niche is something that is you have in common. It's sort of anything can be a niche. A CPA is a center of influence, and just for terms, you know, just so you become comfortable with the terms. And the reason we do this is because these are marketing ideas. Marketing ideas can be very helpful in kind of quantifying what we do. Larry Wilson taught me this concept of being unconsciously competent. Most of us are unconsciously competent in things that we do. We do them, but we don't know what we do. And so what we try and do is help you become consciously competent of the things that you do so that you can do them better and do more of them. So what you've identified is that you have two centers of influence that refer you business regularly, and either you're doing everything perfect already and you cannot get more business from them, or there are opportunities to even enhance that relationship and make it better. I would say 70% of the population of financial advisors do not have a good center of influence, CPA or attorney. We call them professional centers of influence. So you all are way ahead of the general population when it comes to working with professional centers of influence. So you get a big congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No caveat. That's absolutely great. Because there is no better way to develop business than through trusted advisors. It's the number one way. Now,
a lot of our clients, I would say, are within like a half hour, 45 minutes of us. There's not another major firm really in Easton as of right now.
That's good. It's like a monopoly. At least a geographic monopoly. So that's good. All right, so assuming that you are open for business and you want more business. And what we do is examine other ways and build on the things that you do really well now. Okay? So what we want to, what you want to do is think about what are areas that we're not exploring where there is money. Okay? So that may not exist. You may be exploring everything where there's money. But if there are opportunities, we want to have you become familiar with them. And one of those is to examine how people affiliate with each other. Okay? And are there ways that you get business besides the CPA and the church? That may be your primary way, but maybe there's other ways. For example, it may be just a corporation in the community. Small business is good, and it may be associated with the Chamber of Commerce, and that's where everybody goes. It could be Lions Club. It could be the church. But there's an affiliation that that people have to each other, and you have developed that as a niche, or you could develop it as a niche. Okay? And the advantage of niche marketing is that you become an expert in an area that people value, and you can then, you become the choice, the natural choice for them to turn to for investment advice, because you know more about their situation than anyone else ahead of time. So let's use the example of, you mentioned that Mike has pension plans, right?
Yes.
Well, pension plans or retirement plans indicate some kind of a corporation or affiliation. Okay? It could be firemen. It could be a big company, could be small companies, could be 401ks, could be small, could be big. But there's a company, there's an affiliation there, and there's a knowledge barrier that he has that maybe other people don't have. So if I'm a member, if I work at a company and I'm thinking of retiring and someone's handling our assets and pension plan or 401k, and dealing with the top bosses, that would be a place that I would probably like to go to get investment advice as to what to happen to my money, because I've been managing the money before I retire. Okay? So sometimes I don't mean to be so, explaining this in such detail that this stuff. But sometimes we know it, but we don't think about it. And we don't think about how do we best leverage that. Most people, I ran Indiana, right? So, and I ran Central, small town USA, right? I ran the Midwest for Merrill Lynch. And so we're all small towns. So I understand the small town thing. And, your brand and your reputation is very important. So we want to make sure that we consistently deliver a high-quality client experience that they can describe. If most of the time when someone asks about you, anyone, and they will say, Mike's great. Sundrine is great. They're great. They're terrific. We like them. They give us great service. But they can't explain it beyond that. So we, by creating the supernova experience, give them a speech that they can give. What do? Multi-generational planning, 12 contacts a year, and rapid response to our problems. 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. Wow, that's amazing. How can they do that? Well, they have less than 100 clients each. Wow, that's pretty exclusive. Ooh. Could I become a client? Maybe. So you make it very attractive to be a client. But you don't, you know, you never say no to people. You just say, one of our associates will take your work. You know, we work with only 100 clients and so forth. So does that make sense? Any of that resonating?
Yeah. Alex, you had some success with that this week.
Yeah, I got lucky. I've had a couple of successes by just telling clients that I'm going to do this. As a matter of fact, the other day, I have one client who has a few million dollars here, and he was sending in about $100,000 a month. And I was putting it into the market, and at some point I stopped, and I told him to stop sending the money, or we can put it into CDs or whatever. But in any case, he has a lot more money than I manage right now, which is around $2.5 million. And the other day when I mentioned to him that I was segmenting my book and taking the top 100 clients and et cetera, et cetera, the first thing he said to me is that, okay, we've talked about this before. He said, let me get my wife and we're going to come in beginning of next year and have a conversation about everything we have.
Wow.
So that's one example. I've had a few of them like that, a few responses like that.
What do you think it is that made them respond like that?
Well, I think that they know me. They've had a relationship with me to this point, and it's been based on one criteria, the criteria that I had, and they trust me, and they trust. I know that. Let me put it this way. I know I'm an entrepreneur. I spent my whole life building businesses, buying, selling them, etc. And that's who I specialize in. I deal with business people who own their own businesses. So they, even though I was just managing a sliver of their money and investing it, they would come to me with other business problems they have and run them past me. And so when I just tell them that I'm changing the nature of my business where it's not just investing, I think they respond to that because they trust my judgment.
It's really good. It's really good. This is Rob speaking?
No, this is Alex.
Alex,
I'm the junior member of the firm, of the partnership.
Okay. Thanks, Alex. Really good. Now, one of the things you want to try and do is to market that. I don't know if you are, Alex, or not, but that's what I'm talking about. Okay, you're developed an expertise before you came here. So we call that a natural niche. All right? A natural niche is something that you brought to the table from experiences that you had prior to working in our industry. So you might have worked for UPS. Well, your natural niche would be UPS managers, executives, etc. Your natural niche is entrepreneurs. And so that you have an expertise. So it's exactly what I'm talking about. You have an expertise, to help entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I was actually, Rob, I wanted to mention one other thing, is that what I'm planning to do is, because I had three or four successes like that, where each conversation, it's been 100%. It's not 100% success with it so far. So what I decided to do, because I have a lot of people in my book that fit that criteria, but I really don't have much money from them. They've been resistant. And so I made this decision that what I'm going to do is sit down with each one of them individually, and not on the phone, but just in person. Explain the service offering. Tell them I'm segmenting my book, and basically say, I'm not going to say it this way, but they put in the thought in their mind that if they don't get on this train with me now, they're off the train, bottom line.
Sure.
And that's my plan, because, you know, I've learned through this process, actually, that, that, you know, I have to pick and choose the clients, and if they're resistant, instead of waiting for it to happen, I can create some momentum. And if they don't do
right.
it, then on to
yeah,
the next
right. week. Right. And do you think it's because you're offering financial planning?
I don't even know what that is. I'm joking about that, but I think it's because they like the idea of having me set up a scheduled presence, as opposed and have these reviews. In other words, they know that there's going to be a structure to the offering, as opposed to me calling them once a month or once every 2 weeks or once a week or once every 3 weeks, based on, hey, I have a good idea, let's put some money into this.
Right.
And then after that, this way they'll know that I'll be more of an advisor to them than a money manager. That's the way my practice has gone, is I'm more of a money manager.
And you really want, with your expertise in entrepreneurship, you really want to be their financial planner. If you don't have the expertise in it, partner with somebody that does.
Well, that's why I partnered with Mike and the team, is that that's the offering. So, for instance, I have one client who is, he's been considering the sale of his business. He has an offer for it. So, and there's millions of dollars involved. So he was talking to me about how to get valuations, how to figure out really if the offer is reasonable, et cetera. And then after that, I had him come in and we talked about, and I had him meet Mike, and we talked about planning and setting up financial plans for him, et cetera. And the next thing I know, he's sending me some more money this week and talking to me about more money. And I think that we're on the road with him to really expanding that. So.
Okay, so here, now this is a really good case, okay? This is very good discussion. It's perfect. All right, so here's an idea for you, and you really should do this. There's something called a niche mastermind group, okay? So make sure everybody is listening and reading the Supernova Multiplier. This will give you the skills you need in order to put to work the ideas that we come up with. In a half an hour every week, I can't give you the skills. Okay? But you can listen to my book every day on the way to work and the way home, and listen to the chapter, for example, on niche mastermind groups. And listen to it over and over again until you get it. Because this is a really, these ideas don't come from me. They come from very successful people in our industry that put these ideas to work. We adjust, adopt, modify them, But basically, they're things that work. They're not things that Rob Knapp came up with or he read in a book. These are all things that work for someone or groups of people and work consistently. So what's a niche mastermind group? Well, the niche would be entrepreneurs. And then what you want to do is you want to take your niche and then make it more narrow and more narrow. So if it's niche, if it's entrepreneurs, that's good, but let's make it more narrow. How about entrepreneurs that are anticipating selling their businesses? More narrow, right? Older, wealthier typically, because they've been successful, and they're close to having a liquidity event. Very attractive. Who in your market is better suited to take care of them than you are? Maybe no one. Probably not. Are you the best suited, though, to do that? And how do you, does the market know that you're even in that business? They probably don't. So we got a marketing opportunity as well as an opportunity to increase our expertise through space repetition, meaning doing selling business after business after business, we get better at it. And then you can consider even narrowing your niche more. So what would a niche mastermind group look like? It would be made up of a CPA, an attorney, so a CPA that's an expert on helping people sell their businesses, an attorney that's an expert on drawing up documents. You probably need a realtor because oftentimes with the sale of the business comes the sale of the property. You may want a business broker, someone that evaluates businesses. You may want a realtor, a commercial realtor, someone that's good at selling properties. Okay? So you can see that that whole group probably talks to each other sporadically, and they may know about each other, but they may not, that may not be all that they do or what they do exclusively or what they do even part-time. You want to have the best of the best at each one of those things. And, of course, yourself there to handle the proceeds from the sale of the business. Now, in Indianapolis, we had a niche mastermind group with a terrific CPA, attorneys. There was even a couple of consultants that help people through the psychological part of selling their businesses, etc. You can get into that. I can talk about that. But the idea is that you meet once a month as a group, and you talk about opportunities and people that, you know, it's a very confidential group. Everything is confidential. You could even sign a confidentiality agreement. But the idea is that if there are people in the business that are going to be selling their businesses, you're going to be the first people to know about it, and you're going to be the best ones at handling it. And you're going to create a brand in your community that will be second to none. So you want to do this very thoughtfully and make a list of the people that you think off the top of your head would be the best people for it, and then get together as a group and agree that this would be the best group. And then approach them one at a time and talk about it. I'll go through that. But make sure you listen or read the book, Supernova Multipliers, specifically the chapter on niche mastermind groups. Read the chapter on niches. Read the chapter on centers of influence, mastermind group, and then niche mastermind group. Okay.
Have you had any success with any? That's the.
I got a quick for me. A quick question for you. I know we're out of time.
Sure.
But this is Rob, Rob and Chris. So
yeah,
we've narrowed down our book and spent a lot of time, and between the two of us, we've come up with about 50 relationships that we feel we could put into the 12-4-2. We're looking heavily on the 4-1, just trying to put the right people into this where it can we can maximize our success. Do you run into this very often?
Well, that's the easy way to do it, Chris. Rob, the easiest way to do it is to say I'm going to have two segments in my practice. One will be Supernova, and one will be Botworks. It's not the way we designed it, okay? It's a trap. It's a trap in the sense of it'd be easy to do it that way, and it'd be easier on you. The question is, would it be best for the client?
Well, we're looking at it from standpoint of we're gonna spend a lot of time on acquisition. We feel that after this whole exercise, the next 50 clients in this need to be higher net worth people. And
okay.
Once we have something in place where we can transfer these other accounts to partners, we're more than open to it. But we're looking at breaking down our time to where I'm going to spend more time on acquisition than he is, and we're going to really, you know, put our effort there. So, I mean, that's just what we're thinking. I wanted to hear
okay.
your thoughts.
Okay, if that's your attitude, fine. That's good, okay? To make that a permanent model, not a good idea. Temporarily,
right. No,
while you're in transition, you know, you bring in, so you have 50 clients, your 51st client is $2 million, and you get rid of, you know, four $250,000 clients, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
All in. You know, I always say, if you're going to play a basketball game, you don't have to empty the bench, you know, and play with no players. You play with what you got, and then you bring in better players. You get rid of one. You bring one in, you get rid of one. So
hey,
you upgrade
Rob,
your team. Yeah.
Rob, I thought that we don't get clients, we move them on to a better experience. Wasn't that your words? Are you there?
What? Yeah. What
didn't
was that again?
Didn't you say that we don't get rid of clients, we move them on to a better experience?
That's right. Did I say get rid of? I'm sorry.
Yes, you did.
Move them on to a better experience. That's correct. Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah. You
moved
them. Okay.
I've got two.
What else?
No, we're going to pursue the niche market, too. We've got some expertise in a few areas. We just need to exploit it.
So what's your area of niche marketing, Rob? Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. I've narrowed two to me. We've got one retirement plan with a company that does business with all the major pharmaceutical companies. And I've dealt with them for about 15 years. And most of the employees have turned into clients, but I have never pursued that to really get to know their business better than I do. To take it further and maybe work with their clients.
That's brilliant. So we had, yeah, what's the second one?
Second one is we came from PNC Bank, and we have many relationships there. We know executives. We know a lot of people there. And most of the people that retire in the area that we worked with at PNC bring their money here. So we need to leverage that a little more and get to know these people before they retire.
Okay, so the pharmacy thing, was that a natural niche, or is just one that you saw was there was money there and you pursued it?
It came from one of the first employer sponsored plans I ever wrote. I got to know these people and have been there since they started their business. So no, it's not a natural niche. It's just something I've been around here with them for 15 years.
So how long have you been in the business, Rob?
Since the 1990s.
Okay, so you've been around a long time.
Yeah. Started in insurance, went to bank brokers, and we've been with Morgan for 10 years.
So good. We had in Indianapolis, we had Eli Lilly, pharmaceutical company, and that was a gold mine for us because the average chemist had enough money to be of value to us and clearly needed us, and so it was a great relationship. We became experts in their pension, their entire. We knew more about them than the HR people knew about their benefits, etc. So that's what you want to do. You want to be the HR director for them. So when they change HR directors, they call you because they need to know something that the new guy doesn't know. So that's a perfect example for everybody on the call of exactly how you develop and why. And then you network within that niche and you get either a center of influence or multiple centers of influence inside that niche. And so, Rob, what you want to do is make up a folder that looks just like a client folder, and you meet with them. Just consider it a separate business, okay? And even though that person is a client, you're going to meet with them monthly or talk to them monthly. Their role as a center of influence is a completely different role. So you meet with them and talk with them monthly about that niche and about how you can help them and they can help you. Together you can make life better for their friends and associates, and you develop that as a business. And we'll talk about that, but that's what I want you to do. So make up two folders, one for PNC Bank, one for, and then put it right in the scheduler as if it's a client. And that folder will pop up and be on your desk every month. You spend at least an hour every month together or by yourself. And part of that is contacting the either in person or on the phone with that center of influence or centers of influence. And then we'll talk about how you develop that, et cetera. But that's a perfect case for our conversation today.
Great.
Okay?
Thanks.
Yeah, great. Now,
both CFPs too, so.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Yeah, so you can offer, obviously, planning for the executives, and we'll talk about offering that and following through on that for their, as a corporate benefit, et cetera. So, way to go. That's really fun. Well, as usual, we run out of time. I'm gonna postpone our discussion on the five-star model. If you haven't done that, please get that done for the next call, and we'll follow through on that. And if we spark some interest in terms of niches, go back through your top 20 clients and see what else they have in common. Is there a company? And, you know, if Mike has pension plans, What are those companies? What do they have in common? Just exactly like Rob was talking about, that's an opportunity to develop that. And, you know, we don't do as good a job as we should. And that's what I'm here for, to help you leverage your existing relationships and talk through those. So the more robust that discussion can be, the more detailed, the more questions you have, the better our conversation. So let's do some more homework on that niches. If you like the idea of the niche mastermind group for entrepreneurs, pursue that through the work, through my book, and then let's have a robust discussion on that. All right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Come
on. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.